Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back. This is a special edition of All of It, dedicated to looking at the history and cultural significance of the Stonewall Uprising in 1969, a touchstone that's being commemorated and celebrated throughout New York City this June. You know where else is New York City? Brooklyn. And we're going to talk about Brooklyn's queer history. Brooklyn-based author and curator Hugh Ryan writes that Brooklyn's queer history is, quote, full of poets, sailors, undercover cops dressed as sailors, brothels, sideshows, communes, rough trade, Nazi spies, trans men, dancers, machinists, pathbreakers, mythmakers, and more. Do we have your attention now? His new book, When Brooklyn Was Queer, surveys the untold history of Brooklyn's LGBTQ plus communities, starting in the 1850s, from the rise of Brooklyn's queer waterfront to present day. And he was in studio. Thanks for coming on in.
Oh, I'm delighted. Thanks for having me.
Hey, listeners, we want to hear about your history and your stories of queer Brooklyn. Did you move to Park Slope in the 90s to be part of its queer community? What bars and restaurants do you remember as safe places in Brooklyn's queer community? Our phone lines are wide open. Give us a call at 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. We're talking about the book, When Brooklyn Was Queer. So Hugh, you write in your book that the first time you heard about queer Brooklyn, you were 21 years old. So when you first heard about it, what made you think, this is something one day that I'm going to write a book about?
Well, you know, when I first heard about it, actually nothing made me think that. My first thought was, how do I get to Dumbo? I was not familiar with the city, and I didn't know anything about the queer history of Brooklyn. All I knew about New York City's queer history was Harlem, Greenwich Village, and Chelsea. But long after that, when I finally moved to Brooklyn in my early 20s, I started to realize that there was a vibrant gay neighborhoods all across the borough. And eventually that started to make me think, well, wait, were we here 10 years ago? Were we here 40 years ago? Mm-hmm. What about 100 years ago?
Well, what was it about the Brooklyn queer community that you found particularly interesting? You mentioned these other places, and we know they each have their different sort of flavor. What was it about Brooklyn's queer community?
Well, the queer community that I traced was connected deeply to the waterfront, which brought economic prosperity to Brooklyn basically from the early 1820s all the way up to World War II. And for the entire time that that waterfront was active and powerful as an economic generator, it nurtured all different kinds of queer communities. The entire sort of umbrella of queer identities that we know today had analogs back then. They weren't exactly the same as who we are today and how we think of ourselves or talk about ourselves, but we were there.
I love this story because you founded an organization called the Pop-Up Museum of Queer History. So first, what prompted it? And then tell me about the response.
Well, the prompt was actually an act of censorship. The removal of David Warnarovich's piece, Fire in the Belly, from a show at the Smithsonian in 2009. And I was so angry. And then I realized that I couldn't go see queer historical work anywhere in the city. And why was I so angry about this one piece being pulled and not this silence that was all around me? And in response to that, I decided, okay, let's just see. What would a queer museum made by queer people where we didn't have to worry about being too queer for the visitors look like or feel like? And I started as a one-night party in my apartment, and when 300 people showed up, and 14 plainclothes cops who shut us down at midnight, I realized that there was a hunger for this.
That's so interesting. I love that idea that you put something out there and you didn't necessarily know if anybody would respond, and there was such a response. That just tells you so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows how hungry so many people are for their history.
Let's take a couple calls and then we'll get into some details. Robin is calling us from Brooklyn. Hi, Robin. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. Tell us your story.
I moved to Brooklyn in 1983, not because I was a lesbian, but because there was inexpensive housing there. And then I found out that there were a lot of gay and lesbian artists living there. There were group and communal households of gay people and lesbians. There was Brooklyn Women's Martial Arts, which is a karate school, but it was a hotbed of lesbian activism, self-defense training, and other kinds of things. There was a sliding scale. There was free child care. There was something called the Slope Activities for Lesbians, where people would get together and do activities. And there was a cafe called the Rising Cafe, which was a bar and cafe They had live music. My band used to play there. A pool table, lots of folks gathered there, lesbians primarily. And I had heard, I don't know if it's true, but I heard that people actually moved there, lesbians moved there because of the Rising.
I've heard that as well. In fact, someone told me that she moved to Park Slope in 1970 or thereabouts, and she was told she was the first lesbian in Park Slope, but that many came after her.
Our numbers...
The trailblazer, I guess.
Robin, thank you so much for calling in. Our number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We're talking about the new book, When Brooklyn Was Queer. If you have a story about your experience in Brooklyn, we would love to hear it. So you give these tours that take you to important places in Brooklyn in queer history. What was the first gay bar?
It's an interesting question. So the first gay bar, as we think about gay bars today, was a place called Bonner's Heights Supper Club on Montague Street in Brooklyn Heights. It opened in 1950. Tony Bonner was a returning photojournalist from World War II, and he brought global flavors. That was what made the place so exciting. And by that, they meant...
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds thrilling.
Yeah, they meant Italian food, but also some Asian flavors. He brought a wide variety of things. And by the early 60s, we know that it was a gay bar because the New York State Police... raided it repeatedly and shut it down in 1962, which prompted the first big article in the New York Times about areas of New York City where homosexual concentration is high. And despite the fact that it was prompted by an arrest in a bar in Brooklyn, they only talked about Manhattan.
What do you know? Let's go to Adrian in the East Village. Hi, Adrian. Thanks for calling All of It. Adrian, are you there? Adrian's listening, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian's listening. Maybe we'll get back to Adrian in a moment. It's interesting you should talk about how the press presented it, because you have this great back cover of a Broadway Brevities talking about, I'm going to read this headline, third sex plague spreads anew. Sissies permeate sublime social strata as film stars and Broadwayites go gay. Brooklyn Navy Yard, center of flagrant campaigning for gobs and society slummers. My goodness. The Navy Yard. Tell me about the Navy Yard.
The Navy Yard was an exciting place. It was not only a place where sailors and other people, men in the armed forces, could find each other, but it was a place where women, particularly during the World Wars, found work and freedom, and many lesbians found each other there. But also, it made the area around it. There were so many sailors who were on leave, who were sexually open, who might have met people in the bars on Sand Street, that the whole neighborhood had this permissive vibe to it. And people would actually come in the 20s and 30s, sort of the same way they would go to Harlem or Greenwich Village on slumming tours to see what was outre and queer and exciting. They would come to Brooklyn Heights or to Sand Street right along the Navy Yard to go to these bars that had reputations around the world. Carson McCullers wrote about them. W.H. Auden wrote about them. Lincoln Kirstein and Sergei Eisenstein. These artists and influential people from around the world came to find sailors and sex workers and stevedores and men and women and queer people and trans people in Brooklyn.
My guest is Hugh Ryan, the author of the book When Brooklyn Was Queer. Adrian is back. Hi, Adrian. Thanks for calling All of It.
Oh, well, thank you. And I just wanted to say thank you again. I heard you speak at the center, and you were wonderful, and your book is wonderful. We both read it. And I wanted to remind people of the St. George Hotel in Brooklyn Heights that had a very gay atmosphere. Mm-hmm. People would come from Manhattan. There was a pool. People would pay admission to use the pool. And, of course, often assignations happened there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to speak just for a second about the pre-Stonewall thing. I came to New York in 1959, and it was the beginning of a bubbling up of thousands and thousands of gay men and women came to New York to get away from these small towns. And there was a lot of activism, like people, the police, 2-3 years before Stonewall, the police would bang on the billy clubs on the telephone pole on Christopher Street and say, move on, and people would yell things at them, and often obscenities, and then run, you know. So there was a bubbling up of it, and I have to admit that my brother, who was gay, 15 months older than me, and I, we never tolerated anyone calling us names or trying to rough us up, because we got equally violent back. Once my brother picked up a garbage can lid, cracked them on the head with it, I took a board that I found, and we would chase them.
Wow.
And there were other people like us, particularly drag queens who lived around 8th Street. They just didn't take any guff, you know. So what I'm saying is Stonewall was a culmination of a bubbling up of of gayness, so to speak.
Adrian, you know, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian.
Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. If you'd like to share your story about your experience with Brooklyn, queer Brooklyn. It's interesting that Adrian mentioned the Hotel George, because that is listed in your book and on your walking tour. What was special about it? Was it at 100 Henry Street?
Yes, it was actually, for a while, the largest hotel in the world in the late 1800s, and it was this elegant, storied place, and in particular, the pool, as Adrian mentioned, a two-story grand Art Deco with mosaics all around it pool that attracted admirals who were visiting the Navy Yard and poets and diplomats, the Irish diplomat Roger Casement, who was a famous queer author, and the pool was known for a place where, you know, you could meet other men. It was particularly a cruising ground for men. And then by the time the 1940s, 50s, 60s, when the St. George is kind of on its skids, it becomes a place where sex workers, the lifeguards were known to be sex workers in the sort of underground world. And actually, just last night, I met a man who told me that he, going to the St. George in the 60s, saw a sign outside of the pool that said, "No DC-8ers allowed." And he said, "I didn't know what that meant, but I knew it meant me." And DC-8 actually stands for Disorderly Conduct Subsection 8, which is the first law in New York City history that criminalized sex between men specifically.
Coney Island. What was going on out in Coney Island?
What wasn't going on out in Coney Island? You've got everything from all-male beauty pageants in the 1920s that were filled with gay men and people in full makeup and drag when they were not supposed to be. The people hosting the beauty pageant freaked out over this. This was not what they expected. To burlesque dancers in the 1940s, women who were themselves queer and who hired other queer women. And there's a long history of that. Mabel Hampton, a black lesbian dancer who gets her first job before she becomes big in the Harlem Renaissance theaters. She gets her first job as a dancer down at Coney Island, where she learns the word lesbian for the first time from another woman. Everything went on at Coney Island. You've got drag queens and drag kings in the Victorian era, 1890s drag kings performing down at Coney Island.
The name of the book is When Brooklyn Was Queer by Hugh Ryan. And I also want to point out, this is a beautifully researched and written history book. We're talking about some of the highlights of things you on the tours, but you mean you go into Robert Moses's. I have no book about New York can be have not have Robert Moses in it.
Everyone needs a villain.
At some point. When you think about queer Brooklyn in our last minute, is there one place, is there one period of time, era, which you think really encapsulates what it was about?
Well, when I say when Brooklyn was queer, I'm not saying that Brooklyn is not super queer now. It's queerer than it's ever been, more diverse, more exciting, more powerful. But when we talk about the 1920s and 30s, that was a moment where people recognized parts of Brooklyn, particularly Brooklyn Heights, Brooklyn Navy Yard, and Coney Island, as queer spaces, as gayborhoods that you would go to for particularly queer experiences. And so that's what I really think about, is this amazing moment in the 20s and 30s when Brooklyn was kind of at its peak.
And was it a safe time?
In some senses,
yes.
In other senses, no. A lot of the people I've read about say there wasn't this kind of, you would get beaten up on the streets. That's a post-1940s homophobia. Mm-hmm. But there certainly weren't a lot of places to meet. You kind of had to talk about it in a coded way. You could still get fired. If you were a woman, you couldn't wear trousers on the streets without getting some level of harassment. But at the same time, there was the pansy craze, and everybody wanted queer people in movies and TV shows. So it was complicated.
The name of the book is When Brooklyn Was Queer. Hugh Ryan, thank you so much for coming into studio. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for all our callers for calling in and sharing your stories.
Happy Pride.
I'm Allison Stewart. This is All of It. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I'll meet you back here next time.